Praise God. It's hour of power. Always an honor to speak here, but especially hour of power just seems so special because as a member of the Rhema family, you know hour of power is Pastor Hagen's, you know? So, you know, when I came up here and I saw Pastor Hagen was here, I thought, well, I hope he likes this message because I'm talking about him while I'm in it. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I am glad you're here tonight, and I believe God has got some things for us that I want to share with you about developing a fighting spirit. And that's particularly why I said that about Pastor Hagen, because many of the things that I've learned about developing in my spirit in order to be able to stand against the enemy in my life, I've learned right here. Pastor Hagen's tenacious, cannot be defeated, and will not quit attitude. I didn't always know that growing up. And I didn't always get taught that. And I didn't know that there was a natural and a supernatural side to my faith. I always thought anything that I was going to get, I was going to get because God was going to do it. And if God didn't do it, then that must have meant it wasn't His will for me. But we've got a part to play. And I came here and I learned that, and it changed my life. Amen. So tonight, talking about developing a fighting spirit, I'll tell you a little bit about me. I grew up an 80s kid. You know, all those 80s fight movies like The Karate Kid and Iron Eagle, if you know anything about military movies, Top Gun, Rocky. Come on now. I mean, some of the things, Rocky was just the, I was going to start out my message tonight with my five favorite Rocky quotes, but this was all I could come up with. Yo. Yo, Adrian. Ayo, Polly. Ayo, Apollo. And Ayo, Kid. But that was all I had, so. What I liked about that movie and the kind of movies like that was these underdogs who would fight against or push back against some kind of hard time or some kind of difficulty. Those kind of movies would just get me excited. I can remember going home afterwards, and unfortunately, my brother, who is older than I am and bigger than I am, they also got him excited. So I took a whole lot of beatings after watching Rocky movies as my brother was demonstrating, you know, all of his moves. Well, our scripture this evening talks about fighting. It comes from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And you know the scripture. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And we understand that the Apostle Paul is, he's not talking to Timothy about a literal physical fight. He's talking about this spiritual fight or this fight of faith that we all experience. And then notice he says, lay hold on eternal life. And the idea of laying hold of something tells us that evidently if we got to lay hold of it, that means something might be trying to get us to turn loose. And as believers, if I were to take a poll tonight in here and say how many of you have faced difficulties, I could say how many of you faced difficulties even in the last week, and by a show of hands, we'd say lots of us have been through some difficult times. And we all understand what the scripture tells us, that, you know, we have been made more than conquerors. In the eyes of God, we've been made victorious. Isn't that right? So we're not fighting to gain victory in a sense. It's more about learning to maintain our position. When you've been put in a good position, the enemy, you know, that's one of the things about the devil. When he couldn't stop you from getting born again, when you know, whatever aisle you came down, whatever workplace you were in, when somebody gave you a gospel message and you received Jesus, if the devil could have stopped you, he would have stopped you. But this contract that we have that's written in the blood of Jesus, glory to God, that says that we've been made free, the devil has got no say in your salvation. Isn't that right? You're born again and he don't like it, but it don't matter what he likes. So what he does to believers oftentimes is he tries to attack or chip away at other areas that we have been made free in, but we have to hold on to because he comes in to try. Because what do thieves do? Thieves come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so he couldn't do anything about your salvation. You got born again. You're in the family of God, and I'm so glad you're in it. But he tries to chip away at other areas. He tries to bring sickness into your life and get you to let go of your healing. He tries to bring some poverty into our lives and get us to let go of our provision. Trying to get us, and we've all been there. We've experienced things where the enemy tries to gain a foothold in our lives to get us to let go of something that belongs to us. Sometimes when we're trying to hold our position, something comes up that we didn't expect. Mike Tyson said it this way. He said that everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And oftentimes we've got this idea about how our life is going to go and what we're going to do. And we've got our head down serving God and moving forward. And something hits us that we didn't expect it. We weren't aware of it. And he hits us on our blind side. He catches us unaware in some area. That's the reason why we're to give no place to the devil. We know that. Why? Because if he can find a place, well, he'll slide in, won't he? And I've had it happen in my life. And I know, I'm sure many of you could say you've had it happen in your lives as well. Jesus paid for us to have everything that belongs to us. And sometimes the devil finds entrance into our life and he comes to do what thieves do. And he tries to take those things away from us. Look at 1 Peter 5, beginning with verse 8. It says this. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." I always like to read that last part because the enemy comes in, he's seeking whom he may devour. We're to resist him steadfast in the faith, and there's going to come a time, if we don't quit, we're going to get to the other side. Oh, glory to God. I said, if you won't quit, you'll get to the other side. There'll come a time that if you'll resist the devil, at some point, it's going to let up. It doesn't rain forever. That was weak. I'm preaching better than you, amen, right there, but we'll work on it. Notice the devil can't just devour everyone. A lot of people think that he can. And he's got people convinced that he can come into our lives and just take things from us, but he can't unless we let him. Isn't that right? The people that won't be devoured are those that have developed a spiritual determination that says, no matter what happens to me, I'm going through to the other side. No matter what the devil brings, I'm going to make it through to the other side. I'm going to finish what God and I started together. Amen. Amen. But the thing that determines the difference between success and failure, or whether or not we're devoured, is how we handle the adversity when it comes our way. And that takes a fighting spirit. That takes a willingness to make a stand. We have to develop a fighting spirit if we're ever going to succeed in following God. It will not come automatically. And that's why the message that Pastor Hagin taught me and all of you about the natural and the supernatural coming together, creating explosive force for God, matters so much. Because if God is working with us to bring us into victory, what if we ain't doing nothing? Amen. What if we're not doing anything? What if we're not resisting? You know, Jesus paid the price and provided everything that he's going to provide for us, and now it's up to us to do some standing. And there's some natural to this fight. We've got to give it. We've got to give it what God has gave us, and put in our effort. And when we do, the natural coming together with the supernatural will create an explosive force for God. It's a catalyst. Glory to God. When I'll give God what I got, he'll take what I got and he'll pull it further, and he'll put me in a place of victory. And when we learn that, we understand that we've got some engaging to do in the process. Three things that I want to give you tonight, quickly. It's hour of power, remember. And I'm going to give you these, and then we're going to talk about them. Three keys that will help us in developing a fighting spirit are assistance, persistence, and resistance. Say that with me. Say assistance, persistence, and resistance. A fighting spirit requires that we understand the importance of assistance. Thank God that we don't have to fight this fight alone. As I was preparing this message and I was thinking about boxing, I was thinking about individual sports instead of team sports. And see, a lot of times we have the idea that an individual sport means that it's just one guy out there. But it's not just one guy out there, because a boxer understands that it requires a trainer. Oftentimes a dietitian. There's lots of people that are involved in bringing a victory. And when it comes to us having victory and developing our fighting spirit, we have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm not meant to do this alone. It's not meant for just me. I'm going to need some help along the way. There's a scripture in Luke 5, verse 17. You know the story about the man that was born by four friends. It says in Mark that there were four of them, but in Luke it says it this way. It says, it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. And when they could not find by way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And immediately he rose up before them and took upon that which where he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed and they glorified God and they were filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. Now, when I think about that scripture, I think about this. This guy wouldn't have been able to make it if he tried to do it on his own. It took faith for him to allow his friends to get him up there, but thank God he had friends that were willing to do it. There are going to be some times when we're going along and the devil catches us off guard and he hits us with something that we weren't expecting. And when those things happen, it's good to know that the company that you keep will be there to pull you back up and say, you and I are going to take this next mile together. You and I are going to go just a little bit further together. You know the reason that I valued coming back here year after year after year when I left? Because we didn't miss a year. The reason that I always came back for special meetings. The reason that I came around here is because I owe all of you a debt of gratitude. Because when I would come in here, when life would have me down, when the enemy would find entrance into my life, I'd walk through this door and somebody within this family would encourage me with a word and help me to push forward just a little bit farther. The fact that you've got a company around you, the scripture tells us in Acts 4, when Peter and John were let go, being let go, they went to their own company. Why? Because the wrong people in your life will cause havoc, but the right people will pull you through. We have to know that in this fight, developing your fighting spirit is good. You're going to have to say, I'm willing to take all the help that you'll give me. If God didn't think you needed help, then why did Jesus say in John 14 that I'll pray another helper that God will send to you? One of the same sort. Because he knew the value of having that help. Amen. And glory to God, we got onboard assistance. Ha, ha, ha. We got all the friends we need in the family, and we got onboard assistance. This man was bedridden, and it took faith even to let his friends carry him up. When you and I can't do things alone, we can rely on our church family and our company of believers and the Holy Ghost to help us get into position to receive. The company that you and I keep makes all the difference. So the first thing that we need, a fighting spirit is willing to accept assistance. Here's the second thing. A fighting spirit will always have persistence. Too many times we're getting close to our breakthrough and we stop short of victory. You know, before you receive the answer, believing God real strong for 1 week and quitting will produce the same results as never believing God at all. Because we have to believe God when, until. And if we'll believe God until, we'll see the promise. I think many times what happens is the devil is real good at piling on. Before you've gotten over the first thing that he's brought into your life, he kind of finds some way in and he hits you with something. Then before you might be reeling a little bit from that, he'll pile something else on you. And then he'll pile something else on you. Why? Because he knows that you've been pushing through. And if you just keep pushing, if you just keep standing, you just keep walking it out, eventually he's going to have to let up and you're going to see the breakthrough. It's going to come. Oftentimes I think we miss it because we stop too early. That's why one of my favorite quotes, you've heard me quote it here before, Edwin Markham said that. He said, "Great it is to dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream, but a greater thing is to fight life through and say at the end that the dream is true." Sometimes we have to fight some things through, and if we'll be persistent, if we won't quit, if we'll just keep pushing back, glory to God, we'll see victory. And when I think of this, I always think of blind Bartimaeus. In Mark 10, beginning with verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was the son of David, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calls you.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Even though people tried to get him to quiet down, the Bible tells us that he cried out all the more. And it wasn't just one person to say, "Pipe down, brother." It was many people were telling him to keep quiet, but he was persistent in his faith. Why? Because he knew if he could make connection, if he knew, if he just stayed with it, something had to give. Oh, and didn't it give? Glory to God. When it says many charged him, that means it was not just one person. When you find a truth in God's word, when you get a revealed word from God in your spirit, what is enough times of getting knocked down for you and I to stop? Is it 10 times? If I get knocked down 10 times, that's it. It's over. That's the end of it. What if I get knocked down 20 times? What if I'm going along and after 20 times, I say, "All right, but 20's the limit." I get knocked down 20 times. Is 30 the limit? Is 40 the limit? Is 50 the limit? At some point, you and I, we may get knocked down and we may have to wipe a little blood off the corner of our mouth. But when we do, we're going to say, "There's more blood to be had, and it's the blood of Jesus that I'm thinking about, not this right here. And you may have got me this time, but it ain't over, and I ain't out, and it ain't done." And if we start saying, when something happens to us, that this won't be the end, there's still another round yet to be fought. There's still another time that I'm going to hit the corner. And that's where my water is. And that's where my coach is. That's where my corner man is. And they're going to hype me up. And I'm coming back out here. I've got another round in me. Glory to God. You say, "Who taught you that?" That man right there. Hallelujah. I remember when I was a kid, I used to hang out with my brother, and all of his friends were older than me, and they were all bigger than me. My brother was on the baseball team, and I wasn't. And he had a uniform, and it was bigger than what I ought to be wearing. And one day, I caught him gone, and I went to play baseball with his buddies. And so I put on his uniform that was way too big for me, and I went out there to play baseball with my brother's friends. And I got a bad call at home plate. And I was upset about it. And so I got in an argument. And I commenced to fight in this guy. I'm looking at you, Larry, wherever you're. I got in a fight with this guy because I knew I was right. And he was a lot bigger than I was, but we were arguing because I was safe. He said, how do you know? It's my story. Let him tell it like he wants to tell it. And so I come after him and I started fighting and he knocked me down. And I got up again and he knocked me down. And I got up again and he knocked me down. And I got up again, and he knocked me down, and my britches came down. So I picked up my britches, and I ran at him again, and he knocked me down. And I went down, and the pants went down, and they came up, and I got up, and I went back, and they came down, and I went down, and I brought them up. I say I won that fight, because if nothing else, I wore him out, and he got tired of pushing me down. And that ended the game. Sometimes we have to say, when we get a hold of a truth in God's word, that I'm not letting it go, not for you, not for nothing, not for anybody. And I don't care what else happens. I don't care how many times I get knocked down. I'm coming back up. Glory to God. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We still got some fighting to do. Doesn't matter how many times we get knocked down, when we're following God, we got to keep getting up. And as long as we keep getting up, we never lose. All glory to God. As long as we keep getting up, we never lose. And that's the thing that I learned here that I held on to so strongly, was because I had dealt with so many things in my life where the enemy had found foothold, where I would start believing God for a little while. I can remember before I came here, I was dealing with a sickness in my body. I was in the doctor's office, and they leaned in on me, and the guy put his hand on my knee, the doctor. And he said, we think what you're dealing with is neurological. And I don't know a lot, but I knew that had something to do with my brains. And so I can remember going to the MRI and being in that machine and hearing that clicking, did-it, did-it, did-it. And it was like the enemy was telling me I was going under. And he had me convinced that he was going to kill me by the time that I was 30 years old. And at that time, I was about 28. You don't have to do math real well to know that didn't give me much time. I'm convinced today, if I wouldn't have followed God here and learned the lessons that I've learned here, that would have come to pass in my life. Because he almost had me convinced. I started getting in the Word. Now, I don't recommend this. I'm going to recommend you get in the Word a lot sooner than you. You may not be in a battle today. Get in the Word now and get yourself filled up. Because I had a lot of work to do. I had a lot of catching up. I can remember fasting. Sarah was in the kitchen cooking one night, and I was fasting, trying to move God. Because at the time, I didn't know that it didn't move God. It wasn't moving God. It was, you know, it was meant to move me, to get me to get my flesh under. But I'm trying to convince God, so I'm in there fasting. You know, if I fast long enough, He's going to help me out. You know, and I'm in there. I was just missing a meal, is what I was doing, because it wasn't impressing God. Right? But then I came here and I started learning some things. My first year as a student here, all of the symptoms that I had when I came here, I still had. But I was getting in class and I was being taught this message of faith, this message of putting my faith into practice, to standing in the faith that I have, doing what I could in the natural and expecting God's supernatural to show up. I was doing that. And that entire year, nothing changed. But I wasn't letting it go. I refused to quit. I was working here in the ministry. I was in media duplication. They let me listen to anything that I wanted while I was working. Thank you. And I would put pastor's messages in. I would put, at the time, Mrs. Hagen's stuff on prayer that she had. I was listening to Brother Hagen. I was listening to everything I could get. I was listening over and over. And then one day I was at work, and all of a sudden I looked across the table and I saw the people on the other side. The symptoms that I had affected my eyes, and I couldn't see things right. Things wouldn't focus correctly. And that day, in my second year at Rhema, I was up there in the media duplication department, and I was looking across there, and I don't even know when it happened, but every symptom left me. It was all gone. And it wasn't, you know, I had the Lord ask me this one time, just in, not in an audible voice, just in my heart. He said, "What's the best way to receive healing?" And I was going through, I was like, well, miracles, you know, handkerchiefs and aprons. You know, being ultra spiritual, I was coming up with the best I could. And here's what I heard on the inside: however I can get my people to receive it. The reason there's so many streams of healing is God is trying, he's a healer. He wants you to get engaged. And if we get engaged with him, glory to God, how did I get it? Oh, glory to God, I got it with the word. The word of God, I was filled up with the word of God. Glory to God. We need assistance. We must be persistent. Here's the last one. A fighting spirit recognizes the need for resistance. A fighting spirit recognizes the need for resistance. I don't have time to read the whole thing to you, but you know the story in Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar made the golden image. And he said that everybody, when they heard, I almost read it to you just because I like how it goes through the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery. I love that part. It says, but when you do, when you hear it, you're going to have to bow down. Verse 16, when he says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. He said, if it be so, our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Sometimes you have to be in a point where there's some resistance. You have to get up every day willing to fight. You have to be persistent. But there has to be some resistance where you put your hands up and you push back against what the devil's trying to do in your life. And you take your authority and you say, oh, I don't have to be careful to answer you. I've already made my stand. I've already made my decision. I know what I'm doing here. And it doesn't matter in the fire. It doesn't matter out of the fire. When you stay with God, it doesn't matter. Sometimes God will take you through a fire. Sometimes God will take you around the fire. But if you stick with God, it doesn't matter. On the other side, you always come out on top. Had the Lord illustrate this to me like this. When I was a kid, we used to play King of the Hill or King of the Mountain. Did y'all ever play that game? That was an easy game for me, with all my friends being older than me, because my brother's friends were my friends. King of the Mountain was good for me because the guy that's up on the high place, he's the guy in the better position. And so even a smaller guy can do well up there. Well, see, what the enemy tries to get us to do is he tries to convince us that we're at the bottom of the hill and we're trying to climb our way up to the top. But that is not how this thing is set up. He's at the bottom of the hill. Move your shoe for just a minute so I can look him in the eye, because he's under your feet. He's on the bottom of the hill, and he's trying to get up there to get you to let go of something. But when he does, you put your foot on the devil's neck, and you resist him with everything you got in you, and you say, no, no, I've been seated in heavenly places. Someone else put me up here, and it wasn't you. You don't get to determine how long I'm here. We take our authority. We exercise our authority over the enemy. We put our foot on the devil's neck and we resist him in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. When we recognize, ladies and gentlemen, these people around you, when you need them, will be there. Look at them and smile real big. You tell them, say, I'm going to be there for you. Now you tell someone else, say, I'm going to believe God with you. Together, we're going to resist the urge to quit, and we're going to persist. We're not going to stop until we get victory after victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. Just stand to your feet. I want to pray for you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, God is faithful. He's faithful to his word, and his word says he'll show himself strong on our behalf. You may be in here dealing with something tonight. I don't know what everybody's going through, but you might be dealing with something tonight. The enemy has found some way, a foothold into your life. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe God with you tonight. We're going to stand together. You're going to draw a line in the sand. You're going to tell the devil that you cannot be defeated and that you will not quit. And your best days are ahead of you. Anywhere in this room, you just slip your hand up and I'm going to set myself in agreement. If you're around and somebody's got their hand up near you, I want you to stretch your hands towards them and I want you to pray in agreement with them. Heavenly Father, you see these hands all over this room. These are people that are facing a battle right now, and I'm their battle buddy. I'm the one, Father God, to stand with them right now in prayer. I thank you, Father God, that you give them exactly what they need by your Spirit. If it's a scripture that they need to stand on, Father God, that you would send laborers across their path to minister to them life and health. Lord, positive people in their midst and no more negative people. No more negative conversations and negative words. Lord, that those would be far removed from them and that you would send, Lord, their family, their Rhema family to them wherever they're at. If they're watching online, that you would send somebody to them, Lord, to encourage them, that they would be coming across their path. But Father God, that they would set this night as their time for victory. They would set this night as the night that they made a stand against the enemy. And Lord, they're going to stand and we're going to stand with them, and they won't quit. They'll not stop until they see the victory, Lord. We give you praise and honor, Lord, for your faithfulness to your word. And we stand on your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak to you tonight. Pastor, is there anything else, sir? God bless you guys. Love on one another. Keep Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and the team in prayer. They're going to be back out on the road in conference. And so we believe God. We'll see you guys on Sunday. God bless you.